Scientists are making amazing new discoveries all the time. Just even before I was coming out and watching a documentary about the Galapagos Islands and just seeing the amazing new discoveries that they're still making about the wonder of creation. Or as scientists look out into the universe and discover amazing new things that they never knew before, which all go to show just how vast and yet how intricate our universe is. But as mysterious as everything around us is, there are also, I believe, truths that God has revealed to us about himself. We may not know everything there is to know about these, but we can, through faith, know that God has spoken to mankind and has a message that he wants us to hear tonight. God's message to us is expressed in many ways, but the heart of it is this. God says, I see you. I know you. I love you. I can help you. And somebody's got a text message that's telling them just that. Now you're going to check your phones, aren't you? And the way God has helped us was by sending his son Jesus to pay the price for everything that separates us from God and make us right with him. So what Paul talks about in this passage that Carol's just read out from Ephesians is he starts to talk about the very mystery that is Christ, the very mystery of Christ. A truth that is only known by revelation and can never fully be understood until we come to that place where we see him for ourselves. But it's powerful and effective to bring healing to our lives and hope to our hearts, no matter what we face in our lives. So let's take a look at some of the clues that relate to this mystery, the mystery of Christ. My hope is that as we go through these, we'll understand a little bit more about who Jesus is and what he has done for each and every one of us. So the first one I want us to look at is the mystery of Christ is based on a promise. Tonight we are all part of a same family, a same body. When we put our faith in Jesus and accept what he has done for us when he died on the cross, we become part of the family which is known as the church. Not just Fullwood Free Methodist Church, but the church. The mystery in his story and what he has done for us is based on God's promise to help us as we live out our lives. How do we know this? Well, we can start in the Old Testament of the Bible, where we find hints or clues that God has a plan to do something about the evil and the sinful condition of the human heart. Way back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve have turned away from God, and God has stood before them, and he's wanting them to be open and honest with him, and they finally say what they've done. God then tells Eve that one of her descendants would crush the head of the serpent that is the representative of the devil. And God also told Abraham that through his descendants, all nations on earth would be blessed. So we can see that even way back then, God had a plan for everyone, for absolutely everyone. And another expression of God's promise is found in Jeremiah 31, where it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is the covenant I will make. A covenant is a promise. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." God has never broken a promise, and he didn't break this one. Through Jesus, he has provided us with everything we need to come close to him and to allow him to take care of our problems. It's a mystery why God cares so deeply about you and me. However, the fact that he does care about us has been made known through his Son, Jesus. God's promise to help us provides the very basis of the mystery of Christ. Now let's look at the availability of this mystery. See, I believe that the mystery of Christ is accessible to all. As we read in verse 6 of the passage, this mystery, Paul writes, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This is a truth we must never forget, that God is interested in people. People matter to God. You matter to God. So much so that he gave Jesus. Regardless of what you look like, whether you're tall, dark, well, 2 out of 3 aren't bad. No matter what you act like, what you think like, or anything else, God values every single human being, including you. That is why Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away." Back then, it was a case of Jews and Gentiles, those that weren't Jews. But for us today, it's a case of whether you're male, female, rich, poor, young, old. All are welcome at God's table because of the mystery of Christ, that he died and rose again so that nothing could separate us from him. Everyone has an invitation through Christ. It's not the exclusive property of any single group or sect. Every human has the opportunity to share in God's promise. But here's the other part of the mystery of Christ, is that it is visible through the church. As we read in verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has a way of using things and people that the world would consider insignificant in order to do his great work. If we read in another of Paul's letters in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." There are some pretty amazing gifted people in the world today. There are some in this room. Some who are living their lives to God and others who aren't. All too often, people with high aptitude and giftedness begin to think more of themselves than they ought to think. However, God wants his people to be humble, knowing where their gifts and abilities have come from, and giving him the glory for all the good things that they do and accomplish. And one of the things God wants to do through his church, that's you and me, ordinary people like us, all around the world, is to showcase this amazing wisdom of God. That the church somehow displays the bright spectrum of God's wisdom to the angelic beings in heaven. It's as if the mighty angels of God look at what he's doing through his church and they just look at it in absolute amazement, their jaws dropping on the floor, that God could do so much through people like you and me. Amazed at God's wisdom being displayed in us. And when Paul tells us that when it comes to the good news about Jesus changing lives, even angels long to look into these things. It's a mystery to them that such a mighty, matchless creator would go so far to reach such tiny, insignificant, often ungrateful creation as ourselves. Yet the church that Jesus Christ is building is reflecting his glory to the highest heaven. That's what we read about in this passage tonight. So here's a point. You are reflecting the glory of God, aren't you? That you are actually reflecting God's glory in the way that you respond and love others the way that God loves you. You see, because God continues to build his church, because the church is the tool he's using to carry out his eternal purpose, that bringing people back into a right relationship with him through Jesus. You and I are part of God's plan. You are a demonstration of God's wisdom. If you're like me, some days you don't feel like it. The alarm goes off and you think, oh, do we have to do this today? But know that you are, and that we have a job to do. There is a world out there that needs to know God loves them, that God cares about them. And that will rarely happen until you and I show them. That we show them that we care. That we show them that we love them no matter what. So let's keep up the good work of reaching out to people in love and showing the love of Jesus to them. But also that the mystery of Christ gives us a clear approach to God. As it says in verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. For me, that's probably one of the biggest mysteries of all. That because of Jesus, that if I live in him and have faith in him, that when we come to Christ in faith and accept what he's done for us, he gives us access to the very throne of God. Because of what Jesus did for us when he died on that cross and rose on the third day, we have access to the throne room of God. And as it says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. See, his love dispels fear. There's probably a time when it says, fear God. But ultimately, God wants us to be in relationship with him. And the love that he's shown us through Jesus means we can approach God boldly. The way a child approaches a loving parent, that we can know that he loves us and is interested in hearing from us and helping us, but also that we might stay a while and listen to what he might want to say to us. You see, Jesus made it possible for us to have a clear and immediate access to the creator of the universe. It is such a mystery to me. Why? Who are you and I that God should notice us, let alone invite us into his presence? The only claim that we can make is that we are in Christ and that we trust him fully. So let me ask you a question. How is your approach to God? Is it clear? Is it uncluttered? Let me probe a little deeper. Have you actually been in his presence recently? Have you approached him and told him that you love him and you want to say thank you? Or maybe for you, that's a path you've yet to take. What is it that's holding you back from entering the presence of God? What is it that distracts you? Because you and I have the greatest privilege anyone can ever have, the freedom to approach the living God. Ask God to help you clear your approach to him so that you can be the person you were meant to be in and through Christ. And then also the mystery of Christ brings encouragement. As we read in verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was no stranger to suffering. In one of his letters, he writes about how many times he's been shipwrecked, how many times he's been beaten almost to the point of death. But just as Jesus was no stranger to it, Paul is saying, my sufferings for you are also your glory. And Jesus is described in Isaiah 53 as a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Paul considers it a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. As he's writing this letter to the Ephesians, Paul's reminding them and you and I today that God is still in control, no matter what, and that he is still using his church to accomplish his purpose. So Paul's asking them not to be discouraged, which carries the idea of becoming good for nothing or growing faint or weak or disheartened. And that is what he's saying, is that that's not how someone who is in Christ and who has free, unhindered access to God should live. He doesn't want to tell them off for it, but he's simply asking them not to become discouraged, because he's simply following God's call on his life, and Christ's will is still being accomplished, even though he's suffering in prison. That he's saying, I'm still part of God's plan, and God is still accomplishing things through him. Folks, don't allow your frustration or your anger over a difficult situation rob you of coming into the presence of God through Christ, or in any way hinder your effectiveness in serving Christ. Instead, keep revealing the mystery of Christ in your own life and revealing it to others as well. Because the mystery of Christ is based on a promise. It's accessible to all. It's visible through us as the church. It gives us a clear approach to God, and it brings encouragement even in the most difficult circumstances of our lives. And in the light of the fact that Jesus is leading the way, and that as we live in him and trust him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So be encouraged. The way to God is open for you tonight. Don't lose heart. Keep loving God and keep loving people. My hope and my prayer for you tonight is that you will either continue to look into this mystery, to continue to learn more and more of God's love for you through Jesus. Continue to trust Jesus with your future as you approach him often. That you won't be discouraged, that it won't immobilize you, but that you will remember that God is in control of all things, and that everything is going to work out according to his eternal purpose. Or maybe for you tonight, it's that you haven't yet responded to God's promise to forgive you and to help you, and the fact that he knows you fully, even better than you know yourself. And he still loves you so much, he sent Jesus for you. A very clear invitation to start a walk for all eternity with him. And I hope that maybe tonight, on this Easter Sunday, this resurrection day, this will be the start of a new life for you. That you might actually take that first step towards God, placing yourself at the foot of the cross and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what will you do on this resurrection day? Sue.